As we were talking through what we would want to say to you as new parents just starting out on this journey of raising your family, we knew that the topic of marriage was going to be incredibly important. You see, the truth is that every marriage struggles and many marriages don't make it. The other truth is that one of the biggest influences on your child's future emotional health and confidence in life is your relationship with each other. So today we're talking to Andy and Sandra Stanley about the importance of making your marriage a priority during the early years of parenting. Andy and Sandra, you have three children, two sons and a daughter, all teenagers, and are one just a year away from being a teenager.
Right.
So are those early years a distant memory for you?
Yeah, they are for me. In fact, sometimes we look at pictures of our kids when they were toddlers, and I don't even remember them looking like that, which is sad.
No.
It's sad. But this is a really, really important topic because there are surprise stresses that come with those early years of being a parent. And we have both seen through the years some marriages really, really take a hard hit because they just didn't know what to expect when they brought that first little one home.
Mm-hmm. And that's understandable. Those early years can be so tough, and they can also be tough on a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some specific things that you remember about those early years?
Well, our kids are all 20 months apart, which I think adds to the fog thing of, you know, it was busy. But when I was pregnant with Allie, Andrew and Garrett were both still in diapers. And so I had that thought of, oh, dear, we're going to have three kids in diapers.
And so Sandra decided that we weren't. And so she decided, really, she speed potty trained Andrew, and I won't give you the details because people will hear this and kid him about it, but she just decided, I am not having three kids in diapers. So Andrew got the speed treatment, and so by the time Allie was born, Andrew was out of diapers.
Worked out.
Yeah, good job. Okay, so think back to those early years. What are some things that you did to protect your relationship with each other?
Well, I think early on we got some great advice from some experienced parents, and they said, remember, you were already a family before your children came along. They are simply welcome additions to your family.
And, you know, that really gave us permission not to put our kids in the middle of our marriage or in the middle of the family. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, once we made that decision, then we began to notice couples who were not doing that, moms who rode in the back seat with their kids. Just things where we'd go, ooh, there's that thing. There's that thing that we could have easily fallen into because here's this new child. They're so fragile. You know, they're like a piece of art, new babies. Everybody just sits and looks at them. And so I think just the fact that they get so much attention, both in terms of the busyness of attention and just the enjoyment, after a while they move into the center of the family. So we made a conscious decision not to do that. And then we began to see what happened when other couples did.
Mm-hmm. I think a defining moment for me in understanding that was even before Andrew was born, Andy and I were in our car going somewhere, and we saw a couple put their baby in the back seat, the husband got in the driver's seat, and then the wife got in the back seat with the child. Mm-hmm. And Andy saw that, and he looked at me, and he said, please don't ever do that. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have because it seems intuitive. You know, it's a baby, needs my attention, and what if something happens and I need to be in the back? I think that was a real defining moment for me and allowed me to take that example and even apply it in some other areas of I really want Andy to feel like like my priority.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One other thing I remember is we went out on a date. It was very short, but we went out on a date just days after bringing Andrew home from the hospital. Now, of course, we'd gone out with him, but we just decided, you know what, let's just try this. Let's just go ahead and make it a habit to break away and, you know, prioritize this relationship even in these early days of bringing him home. And that was tough.
Mm-hmm. But those are conscious decisions too. And you just have to plan for it and you have to think about it ahead of time and make it a priority. And when Andy would come home from work, I would try so hard to make it a priority to put Andrew down, let him kind of play with toys or whatever. The same couple who had given us the original advice about our child being a welcome addition to our family also referred to this as couch time, where you really sit down and focus on each other and kind of talk about your day and all of that. And the child eventually kind of comes around to that, and it actually makes the child feel a little more secure, I think.
And the point they made, which we learned later was so important, that Andrew saw that we were putting him down by himself and we were sitting down on the couch and having adult conversation. He would crawl over and, of course, want to be in the middle of that. But we just created this habit of doing this. And after a while, I think even in his own infant little way, realized this is part of the family routine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Parenting in those early years can be so stressful. I think young moms many times just feel very isolated during those new baby years. What are some things that you guys did to deal with that?
Well, I noticed that, and especially once we had our second child, that the stress level, you know, it almost goes up exponentially. And we had a great conversation that I highly encourage husbands to have with their wives. Instead of just trying to be helpful, instead of just trying to figure it out, I just sat her down. I said, okay, just tell me, in the ideal world with the ideal schedule, what would it look like in light of this current stage of our life? And that's when she told me. She said, you know what? By 4:30, I'm done. You know, I've been with these crawlers for all day long. And by 4:30, I just feel my energy just drop off. And so I made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm going to do my best to be home by 4:30, which there's another whole story associated with that, but which was very, very difficult. And as a leader of an organization, very awkward at times. But, you know, she said, if I could, in an ideal world, this is what it would look like. So obviously everybody can't do that, but I think it's a real important discussion to have, because later on she came back and she said, you know, the fact that you even asked that question, the fact that you even said, okay, I may not be able to do the ideal thing, but I would love to at least know what it is and attempt to lean into that. That was a very important conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think so. We had friends where the wife would meet her husband at the door when he came home at 6 or 7 or whenever it was, and she would dump the kids on him, and she was out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, after a while, he didn't want to come home. Mm-hmm. And he even told Andy once that he would pull into another cul-de-sac in their neighborhood with the newspaper before he would go home, because he just needed, you know, a little bit of time to kind of get ready, because he knew as soon as he walked in the door, you know, the kids were going to kind of be dumped on him. And you know, as tired as a mom is, that's a tough thing to do in a marriage.
She would literally meet him at the door with their child and hand him to him and walk out the door.
Wow. Wow. I know in a marriage, it's very easy for two people to have two very different approaches to parenting. Was it easy for you guys to stay on the same page with your parenting styles, or did you always approach it the same way?
That's a great question, because parenting styles can definitely divide a couple, which essentially becomes a marriage problem. So, you know, parenting styles can lead to marriage problems.
Andy and I have always kind of worked from the same playbook when it comes to parenting, and I think two things that have contributed to this are, number one, we were raised in very similar homes where, you know, the dad was kind of the disciplinarian somewhat, the mom tended to be more of a listening ear, and, you know, there was never any doubt who was in charge, and so it made it almost impossible for the parents to play one against the other.
The other thing we did, we actually took a parenting course early on. And what that did, it forced us to talk about some issues, especially with a baby. We hadn't anticipated the issues that come with toddler. You know, every stage of life, it changes. And I'm going through this course. Again, we didn't even necessarily agree with everything in the course, but it forced us to talk about, what about discipline? When do we discipline? How do we prioritize our marriage? So more than anything else, it started a conversation that very early on gave us some terminology as we began to deal with the things that took us by surprise as brand new parents.
Right. One of the things in that course that was probably one of the more controversial things was the idea of scheduled feeding. Mm-hmm. And being a very analytical thinker and an analytical person, I like a schedule. So it's easy for me to be excited about trying that out. And we even got our kids on a schedule in the hospital. And I think it contributed greatly to them sleeping through the night early and all of that. And with me getting more sleep, it meant, you know, I was more patient with the kids and also had a lot more energy and time for Andy and for our relationship.
And the other thing, and this isn't a commercial for scheduled feeding, the point is everybody needs to be on the same page. But the other advantage that had for us is because our kids were on a schedule in terms of feeding, we knew when we had those 3 and 4 and eventually 5-hour blocks of time that we could be away.
Right.
And it created an opportunity for us, once again, to just invest in the relationship, because we knew we have 4 hours. We can get in the car, we can eat, and we can come back. Whereas without,
by ourselves.
Yeah, without that, with just sort of the random feeding schedule, I can understand, and we saw this happen, how you just are glued to that child, which, you know, feels good for the moment, but it begins to erode oftentimes just the intimacy between a couple.
All right. You both have been in ministry since the beginning of having your children. How do you feel like that has impacted your perspective on raising kids?
Well, I think working with high school students, we were able to see the good and the bad, and we knew their families. And so we could see the relationship between a family that had a great marriage and how secure their children were, or a couple that had a poor marriage and it affected their children in a negative way.
In fact, I think, honestly, that the health of the marriage is probably more impactful than the time spent with the kids. Mm-hmm. And obviously spending time with kids is very important, but you know, we saw families where the family, the parents were so connected to the kids, they were always with the kids, and yet the marriage began to deteriorate. So I would say, you know, if you have to lean one way more than the other, lean toward the marriage part, because as Sandra said, that just instills, we believe, a sense of security in kids that nothing else can accomplish, even spending time with the kids.
I think of an example of in our home of that is from day one, there's been a very high intolerance level in our home when it comes to how the kids treat me. Mm-hmm. Andy requires them to treat me with respect, and that's kind of the number one rule. He's never allowed the kids to talk disrespectfully to me. And, you know, to this day, our boys stand at the kitchen table until I'm seated for dinner. I remember once even we were at somebody else's house for dinner, and they stood at the dining room table and waited for me to be seated and for the hostess to be seated. And it was one of those things where you're cheering on the inside, thinking, okay, they're getting it. They're getting it.
Yeah.
So.
And the thing is, too, in student ministry, we saw kids talk so disrespectfully to their moms that it was easy for me to decide early on, that's not going to happen in my house. And so as Sandra said, we really just have two rules. Rule number one is respect your mama. And rule number two is never break rule number one.
And that wasn't my rule. That was his rule. I didn't ask for that, but I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah. Okay, so what else did you do during those early years to protect your marriage?
You know, I don't think we've thought of it so much as protecting our marriage as prioritizing it. And it looks different at different stages of life. When our kids were really young, every once in a while, I would arrange for a babysitter to be there when Andy got home. His love language was quality time, and I'm an acts of service person, and we kind of had to learn how to merge those two things. Mm-hmm. His favorite thing was to just sit in a restaurant and talk. And so every once in a while when they were really little in those high-stress years, I would call him on his cell phone and say, okay, I've got a babysitter, and just pull up in the driveway. I'm coming out, and we can go close down a restaurant tonight.
You know, a lot of couples have a standard date night that I think that's a great idea. Every Thursday night, and the kids just know this is mom and dad time. We've never really done that. What we have done is we'll have, like, mini dates where I'll come home, we'll kind of hug the kids, and then we'll just get in the car and drive around.
Mm-hmm. And now that they're older and we don't have to have babysitters anymore.
Yeah, it's great. And we just go have coffee, and, you know, we just call it a mini date because we're in the midst of homework and all those things. So I think, you know, the issue is how do we prioritize it? And that's going to look different for different couples, different stages of life. If you have a mom and a dad both working outside the home, that impacts that. But still, there just needs to be that conversation. How do we prioritize the marriage over the children? And even when I say that, it sounds so strange, but we just are convinced at this stage in our life with our kids and watching so many other couples, if you prioritize the marriage, somehow all the gaps get filled in terms of raising the kids. But if you don't prioritize the marriage, then no matter what you do with the kids, there's going to be a gap.
Okay, our hope is that there will be lots of families who participate with us and listen to these talks and move through baby dedication. But we know that there will be some single parents in the mix here. And what would you say to a single mom who's listening to this?
We can't really speak with authority on that subject. I think it's the most difficult job in the world being a single parent, especially a single mom who's working outside the home, especially if they have more than one child. It's just such a difficult and challenging environment. And one of the reasons we know that is we have several friends who are single moms who are in that very predicament.
Mm-hmm. Both of our dads were raised by single moms. Both of our dad's dads died when they were young, and our grandmothers raised them on their own, and it was a tough job, really a tough job. And both of our dads have turned out great.
Yeah, and they've had remarkable children.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, before you go, what would be your closing advice on marriage to that new mom and dad who just brought home a brand new baby?
when you bring that little baby home, if your home is anything like ours, it's going to be full of gifts. Everybody's going to bring your child a gift. But the greatest gift that you can give your newborn is a great marriage. In fact, the greatest gift you can give your kids throughout their childhood is a great marriage.
I hope this interview with Andy and Sandra was a great reminder of the significant impact that your relationship with each other will have on your child. There's one thing that I would love for you to do. Take some time one night after dinner and talk about one thing that each of you is going to do to make your marriage a priority. Maybe you can promise to find a babysitter that you trust. Or maybe it's as simple as spending 10 minutes together when you first get home from work talking about your day. Whatever it is, I promise you that this will be time well spent. You are never going to regret time spent building a strong and healthy marriage. So talk about it. I promise you, it's worth working on.